What a beautiful morning it is. A nice cool morning. Jessica told me that I had to turn the heat back on. She said, you know it had to be cool. You had a sheet on last night. But it is supposed to be cooler this week. But it is a beautiful morning. And it's also a wonderful morning to be in the house of the Lord. There's no better place that we could have wound up this morning than right here. Where we are at, we are truly where God wants us to be. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would open to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 15 through 21. And again, we're continuing with our series on the Holy Spirit. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we began with the deity of the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is the third Godhead of the Trinity. And will be and always be God. Some people have a tendency to kind of overlook the Holy Spirit. And so the second week we spoke about the importance of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was invaluable during the ministry of Jesus. If we remember, Jesus did not use his deity. He did not use his divine powers as he was the Son of Man. And like us today, he depended upon the powers of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we spoke about the Holy Spirit's role in salvation. A lot of things took place on the day that you gave your life to the Lord. And instantaneously, the Holy Spirit went to work, and he had a lot to do. You were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit began to indwell within you. And the Holy Spirit took a hold of us like we were young babes. And began to teach us. And so today, we are going to speak about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how it affects us today. The Holy Spirit does a whole lot. Each and every day, he is constantly working to make us better. But sometimes we make his job very difficult. If we're to be honest, we make it a little hard for him to do the things that must be done to make us better. So if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. One of the first things I want to speak about is the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It is not the same thing as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit and you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, it is permanent. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not. You may ask, you look a little confused, what do you mean the filling isn't permanent? It's not. It's one of the things that we control. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, once we did that, then without no control of our own, we were filled by the Holy Spirit and we were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Now, as we speak about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we control how the Holy Spirit fills us. And what I mean by that is our free will. Being filled by the Holy Spirit is basically allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives. And if we are honest with ourselves, that's a difficult thing for us to do, and very seldom do we allow him to have complete control. And sometimes we'll allow him to have control of a portion of our lives, and then we take it back. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous thing as long as we allow it to be. Also, the control of the Holy Spirit over our Christian lives relates to the enabling or enabling the spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Also, the fruits of the Spirit, which we're not going to discuss much about today. We'll talk about those next week when I finish up this sermon series. But again, we control. The Holy Spirit is the sole provider of the gifts. He determines on his own what gifts are given to what people. And sometimes we wonder, well, what is my gift? Where is my gift? But something that we have to understand is the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that you are ready before he gives you this gift. You wouldn't go out and buy your 2-year-old a Harley Davidson and say, here you go, hop on there and start riding. He's not prepared for that. He will damage himself, he will damage the motorcycle, and he's liable to damage somebody else. He's not prepared, so you're not going to give it to him. And until we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us and to teach us, remember, once we accept Christ, we're that young child, we're that infant, and we have to be shown these things, and we have to be raised up. And unless we allow the Holy Spirit to have control of all aspects of our lives, then we'll not grow and mature into the people that God wants us to be. And then the Holy Spirit has no choice but to hold back the gift that he has for you and the gift that he has for me. The baptism of the Spirit and the indwelling of the Spirit are permanent, like I said, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continual thing that depends a lot upon what we are willing and not willing to give. You notice that Paul says Christians should pay attention to the way they live, how they walk. We've spoken about this many times. The way we live our lives sometimes are more important than the words that we speak. They say that actions are speak louder than words, and I believe that when it comes to our Christian walk and for the world to see what it means to be a Christian. And Paul tells us that our walk is important. And again, we cannot walk this Christ-like life the way that Christ designed it and the way he teaches it on the Sermon on the Mount unless we let the Holy Spirit lead us. Because we are blinded. We live in a darkened world that has no light. And so without the Spirit of the Lord leading us, we are bound and determined to go off course. We are bound and determined to fail. And then we can no longer walk that Christ-like life that Paul is speaking of. Also, the Apostle Paul lists the results of being filled with this Spirit. How do we know when we're filled with this Spirit? Those who live a Spirit-filled life talk about spiritual things. We talk about spiritual things. We talk about the love of the Lord, and we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we talk about all the things that God is doing in us and through us. God is constantly on our mind, as he should be. That doesn't mean that we don't have regular conversations. But honestly, have you ever had a conversation that you could not have put some form of spirituality into it? There's every conversation we have, if we allow the Holy Spirit, he can use it to reach those who may not know who he is. Also in verse 19, it says, praise God for spiritual things. See, the world's all about physical things. The world's all about how big of a house we have and how nice of a car we drive and how big our paycheck is and how nice is our boat. But Paul talks about spiritual things, something that the world knows nothing about, and they cannot know about these things unless they learn them through us. And we cannot describe these things and live these things and show these things until we're taught by the Holy Spirit. It's not a magical thing. It's not just a snap of the finger and we know it all. We must allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. And then in verse 20, he says, submit to one another. Thus, the way we can know in part if we're living a Spirit-filled life. What does he mean when he says, submit to one another? I tell my wife to submit to me all the time, and she looks at me like I'm crazy. Yes. What Paul is talking about, we must submit to one another spiritually. And what, again, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself for next week, but he's speaking of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, compassion, joy, peace. All these things we are to share with one another, and we are to be thankful that we gain these things through the Holy Spirit. And when we submit ourselves, and another thing when it comes to submitting to ourselves is it can't always be what I want. It can't always be what I need or what I desire. Sometimes I have to give. In fact, we should be more willing to give than to receive. We should have a giving heart. And there are some giving people in this church. There's giving people in this community. But there's also a lot of people that wouldn't give you a crumb of bread. And also submitting is being willing to accept. When somebody offers you help, part of this submitting is to be accepting. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. I got it figured out. I'll figure it out. What are you costing that person that's trying to help you? You're probably costing them a blessing. You see, they heard the Holy Spirit speak, and they're willing to act upon what they were told, and you're telling them no, but you're not just telling them no, you're telling God no. So we must be willing not only to help. Helping's the easy part. Accepting help. Ain't that right, Art? It's hard to accept help. It's hard to accept it. It is. You know, we want to be able to do it on our own. And I am so grateful that he's still working. But there used to be a time where I would accept no help. Because to me, that was a form of weakness. But in God's eyes, it's a form of strength. Because then and only then do we realize that we can't do it on our own. In fact, we can't do it at all without the Lord. And what's the Lord do? He uses us to help others. And so we must be willing to submit ourselves to one another. The second thing I want to talk about is sanctification of the Holy Spirit. So we just spoke about filling of the Holy Spirit. We understand that it's not a permanent thing. And hopefully you have a better idea of what you must do, what I must do, to be able to be filled constantly. And the main thing is being willing to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, every aspect of our lives. Can anybody in here honestly say that they've given 100% of their life to Christ? He has complete control. I can't either. But I can say I'm farther along today than I was yesterday, and I'm farther along today than I was a week ago. And that's all that God requires, that we continue to grow. And sometimes I slip up and I slide down the hill and I got to climb back up again. But guess what? I don't climb by myself. Amen. And so as we keep on trudging along, the Holy Spirit will continue to fill us and fill us. And the more we are filled, the closer our relationship becomes and the more we are blessed. And the more we become a blessing to others. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." The idea of sanctification is the idea of being set apart. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were set apart from sin and set apart to God. You get that from to? From sin to God. But again, it is not a permanent thing. Sanctification is something that the Holy Spirit continues to work on in our lives daily, but he can only do so if we allow him. Again, it goes back to giving the Holy Spirit complete control of our lives. Because we slip up and we mess up. And although we are sanctified, our sanctification, like our faith, can grow, and it can also be weakened. There's many times in my life that I have given up a certain sin just to turn around and go back to it. And then the Holy Spirit has to work in my life through conviction and through truth and through the Word of God and say, no, no. And sometimes we turn back to something and not even realize it until a little bit later on, and then it's like a dumbbell hitting us in the face. Wow, I didn't even realize that I had turned back to this. And so we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us continually be sanctified and for our sanctification to grow. As we live a Christian life and we grow in our relationship with God, we are continually being set apart. As the working of the Holy Spirit reveals our selflessness and our pride, or any number of sins within our lives, we are continually being set apart for God. Our sanctification, a lot of times, comes from conviction. And the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Because the world's going to tell us, do you, be you. Do whatever you want to do, and it's all good. But the Holy Spirit shows us what is righteous in the sight of God through conviction. We should praise God for conviction. None of us like it. Last night, we got home. Well, we didn't get home really, but it was a very long day. We had the funeral yesterday, and it was a very long and tiring day. And about 11 o'clock, I decided to drag my tired butt off my recliner and go to bed. Before I go to bed every night, I pray. And I do it a specific way every single night. Last night, I got into bed and I realized I forgot to pray. Satan whispers in my ear, oh, it's okay. It's only one time. You're comfortable. You found that sweet spot. God will be okay with it. Don't worry about getting back up. But yet the Holy Spirit lays a big truckload of conviction. Jesus was tired. But yet he climbed that mountain. Are you really going to lay in this bed and not take the time to give Lord thanks? And so I climbed my tired butt out of bed. And I prayed. But the sad part of it is that the Holy Spirit had to convict me. As soon as I realized that I had forgotten, I should have hopped right out of bed and got on my knees and prayed. But I had to be nudged because I was being a little lazy, because I was a little bit tired. And so we should be thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How else would we know we're doing wrong? Like I said, the world's going to tell you it's all good. You take care of you and you do you. Because Satan, all he needs. Arden, have you ever found a leak in a roof? It leaks way over there, but the water's dripping over here. You see, sin is like electricity and water. It takes the path of least resistance. And you could have sinned way over yonder and not even known it until it starts to drip over here. And that's why it's so important, because you see, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you long before it starts dripping over here. But the conviction only does good if we're willing to accept it, look at it, realize it, and repent from it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So the sanctification can be seen as the past, which is our salvation, the present throughout the Christian life, and the future, which is in our eternal home. Sanctification will not stop until we reach our heavenly home. And again, it's not done as a punishment. It's done out of God's love for us. He wants us to live the best life that we can live, but he knows that we cannot do it on our own. That is why he gives up a piece of himself to dwell within this sinful body, to give us direction and hope and love and peace. No, we used to have false peace and false joy and false hope. We didn't truly come to understand what all those things were until the day that we accepted Christ. Amen. And we can constantly have it if we're just willing to give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and let Him have complete control. The last and third thing is illumination of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13 reads, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come." See, illumination is typically thought of within the context of understanding the Bible. I remember when I first started going to church before I was saved, and I would read the Bible. But I had a very, very difficult time understanding any of it. And there's so many times I would read a verse or two and just, I can't get this. But then I remembered when I finally seen the truth and the truth was revealed to me and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I opened up the Bible expecting to know it all. But yet I didn't. And so again, I'd read a couple verses and I just don't get it. And then a wise man said to me, "You don't get it because you're trying to understand it on your own. Let the Holy Spirit show you and direct you what this means." And my response was, "What do you mean? What's the Holy Spirit?" I'd heard the Holy Spirit referred to, but I hadn't been taught yet the importance of the Holy Spirit and what He does within me. And so now, when I open up God's Word and I read it, before I open it up, I pray, "Lord, may Your Spirit show me Your truth. Help me decipher what it is You want me to see today." And that still doesn't mean that it's crystal clear, but I do have a better understanding of it. And what I have a better understanding of, more important than anything, is when the time comes, the Lord will definitely give me an understanding of what He's trying to show me. But that understanding comes through the truth of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus sent to us. You see, the world is a dark place and it don't know truth. We, at one time, did not know truth. You see, friends, we can't save nobody. It's only the truth that comes from the Holy Spirit that allows a person to understand salvation and leads them to salvation. And so this illumination that the Holy Spirit gives even to a sinner is so important. And it's so important that we seek Him as we study and try to understand God's Word. And don't worry if you read a verse today and then 6 months later you read the same verse and it seems slightly different. It's only because it's being applied to the situation today, which was different than the situation 6 months ago. God's Word never changes, but how He applies it in our lives and our circumstances does change. And again, it takes the Holy Spirit for us to be able to understand these things. This ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of the gospel for initial salvation. Like I said, that we don't save no one. We plant the seed, then the Holy Spirit, through conviction once again. That's how we were all led to salvation. Was we finally started to understand what this gnawing in our brain was. And in our heart, this don't seem right no more. This don't feel good anymore. And it's all because the Holy Spirit was slowly opening our eyes to the truth. The truth to God's Word and the truth to the lies told by the world. So in closing, let's remember this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, and this is so important, "Do not quench the Spirit." That can be one of the biggest mistakes we make as Christians, is quenching the Spirit. And what does it mean, quench? That means to stop, or you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work. You don't follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that can be a very, very scary thing to follow the direction. I've been reading a Charles Stanley devotional book this month, and I've read some really good things, and I'm going to share just a couple things. God has been speaking to us. The Holy Spirit, who comes to indwell when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, is continually leading us to grow in our faith. It's our faith that allows us to give up control to the Holy Spirit. And as we give that up, our faith continues to grow, and it continues to grow. He communicates God's will and plan to us, but often we find that what he is saying requires faith and is therefore very difficult to accept. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit direct you to go and do something and you're like, you got the wrong guy, you made a mistake. And so we don't do it, all because of fear. Our faith isn't where it should be. And I know I've shared my testimony of my salvation 100 times here. But if that gentleman had refused to do what the Holy Spirit led him to do that evening, walk up to a stranger and say, "The Lord wanted me to give this to you," and hand me a tract, and he said not another word, he got in his car and left. What if he would have said, "No, I don't know this guy. What if he punches me in the nose? Your nose is only going to bleed for a little while. Doctor tell you to touch your head back, squeeze your nose, it'll stop bleeding." But I doubt the Holy Spirit's going to let you get punched in the nose. See, we fear things that we don't understand, and we don't always understand why God leads us to do things. And so it's very important, like Charles Stanley says, that our faith leads us. And as we let the Holy Spirit direct us and we follow the direction, our faith will grow. The Lord's goal is ultimately to teach us how to be unconditionally surrendered to him in every area of our lives, because this is when he does the truly miraculous work through us. You wonder why God's not working through you? Sometimes I wonder why he's not working through me. It's because I'm holding something back. There's a part of my life that I have yet to give to him. And he needs me to give it to him because he needs to work through that part of my life to use me for his plan. So again, it's very important. God has a plan for all of us, and it's perfectly designed. And if we can get to the point, and I'm not sure that we can ever be 100% with allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and have complete control. I would love to be there. Am I there today? No. Because I fear too many things. But I do believe this, that if we continue to move forward just step by step, one step at a time, we'll grow and we'll grow and we'll grow and we'll grow. And as we grow, not only will we be blessed, but we will be blessings to others, because the Lord will be able to use us in ways that we could not even understand today. God could do things through you that you can't even fathom today. I would have never thought myself to be up here. And I'm no different than anyone else. And it was only God that gave me the courage to do this, because I already failed once. It's not how many times we fail, it's how many times we allow God to pick us back up. And we learn, and then we move forward. If you think about it, when we read about biblical saints, we find that they had as much trouble doing this as we do. They had just as much trouble. David, the Bible says, man after God's own heart, had a man killed because of lust. Paul had a lot of people put in prison and killed. God entrusted mankind to a drunk. It's amazing that Noah got the boat built. He liked his wine. He took ordinary people who became willing vessels and did extraordinary things through them. We should not worship David. We should not worship Noah. We should not worship Abraham, because they were just ordinary people, just like we are ordinary people. But it's what they allowed God to do through them. Therefore, don't fear submitting to God's will because of what he might require of you. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. Sometimes we don't want to relinquish complete control to God because he may ask something of us that we're not quite willing to do. And most of the time, we're not willing to do it because we're afraid of it. So we must remember that it's not us doing these things. We're nothing but a tool that God uses to accomplish what he wants done. We're just a tool. We're a screwdriver. We're a hammer. That's all we are. The only difference between us and a screwdriver don't have the will to tell me, no, you can't use me. But then sometimes they'll break and you can't use them. We must surrender our lives to the person who is perfect in his stewardship of all things. He has untold blessings waiting for us as we obey him. Don't let fear stand in the way of his extraordinary plan for your life, because he has one. You may think that you've already lived it or that you're living it now. But I don't believe God uses us for one project or one thing and then sets us to the side and says we're done. I think he just finds the next thing. And we just keep moving and keep moving and keep moving. It's when we stop moving when we die. And that's so true with our spirits. When our spirit quits growing, if we don't water it with the word of life, it shrivels up and dies. And God doesn't just, we talked about miracles a while back, and God still does them all the time. I met a gentleman yesterday. He used to work with Larry Shute. And he was talking about he lost his wife 2 years ago. And he had a very difficult time. They were married for many years. And 2 days after she passed away, he said, Lord, I need a sign that everything's going to be all right. I need a sign to know that my dear wife is in heaven with you. 3 years prior to his wife passing away, she planted an orchid, and that orchid never bloomed. 2 days after he prayed to the Lord that the Lord would show him, guess what bloomed? The orchid. And the sad part of this story is he told me over and over, brother, this is the truth. This is the truth. Because so many times today we don't believe in it. Let God use you to be a miracle for somebody else. Amen. Let us submit ourselves completely to him each and every day. It's a difficult process because we fight against our fleshly body, but Jesus already took care of that. He conquered that. Faith in the one that Jesus sent to help us reach the end goal. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit who indwells within us. Father, let us be encouraged and strengthened by your word, and Father, may we seek out the Holy Spirit each and every morning as we start our day. And Father, if there's any part of our lives that, whether out of ignorance or out of doing it purposely, if there's anything in our lives that keeps us from being totally submissive to the Holy Spirit, let that be taken from us. Let us see these areas that we have yet to give control to the Holy Spirit, and give us the heart and the desire to do these things. Father, let us be this light to the world, and Father, let us be the vessel that you use to do your miraculous work. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the reminder, and we thank you, Father, when the Holy Spirit convicts us when we do wrong. So let us be strengthened, and let us be encouraged, and let our faith be built off of what we heard here today. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.